Welcome back to the second segment of Samuel Adams Returns, the Anti-Federalist Got It Right, here on Liberty Works Radio Network, where there's real truth in broadcasting. And I sure hope that you folks go and listen to some of the other hosts. Go to the host page, check them out. If you can listen to some of the other live programs, that would be absolutely wonderful. There's points of interest for local as well as national interest. Today on Samuel Adams Returns, I've been going back through one of the things that just caught me this week, and that being the hearings of Loretta Lynch. I don't know how you really want to describe her, except as I did in the last segment. I think that she is a component of the subversive despotism that is living in the tyrannical administration and bureaucracies set forth in this nation today. And I don't say that with ease. I don't say that with trying to stir something in a negative format. I'm just speaking the truth. And once again, I'm speaking the truth to the choir, in most cases, those that are listening. The problem that we have today, as I mentioned in the last segment, is no different than what was being faced during our colonial period, just as we were looking at why were we wanting to separate from England. What were those offenses being perpetrated on our forefathers, those founding fathers of this nation? Judicial tyranny was one. Judicial tyranny was coming about by virtue that the crown, the King of England, was taking over the whole judicial system from his tyrannical perspective. And in that particular case, instead of the local governments paying the judges, which would allow them to have freer reign and freer ability to judge according to the law, instead they were now becoming political puppets. And I did hear on a modern television program where one of the commentators was notating that the Republicans are acting no different than the Democrats did and are acting no different than the administration does, because to them it's now all a political game and it has nothing to do with the moral fabric of the rule of law under the Constitution, especially under the Constitution as it was intended by our founders. Now, a number of you have heard me give my presentation on the Tale of Two Constitutions, where I clearly identify and I show through much of modern history what has happened to our founders' Constitution and has knocked out those framework that established it to be a true sense of rule of law. Instead, we have the mismatched, mixed-up stuff that we perceive to be constitutionally correct, and by which the likes of this, what do I want to call her, this, I described her very simply as a subversive. Loretta Lynch is a subversive to the highest degree, that her and her ilk have no right to hold those offices except under despotic tyranny that is elected and has been elected not only into the administration, but unfortunately has been elected into the various seats of Congress and in many cases into local administration. One of the things that I was looking at in trying to go back over this was the idea that I talked about in other in the other programs around what happened with Covenant in America and how that transitioned. And I brought that out very clearly in last week's program, that we saw the change in going from that Covenant perspective to that transition in constitutionalism that was moved, if you will, by the ideas of Romanticism and Darwinism that then has taken and driven us to a point now that we have no moral perspective that drives our rule of law. Instead, it becomes the social Darwinism that we've seen and has caused a lot of regression in what that would mean from founders' intent. So one of the things that I really appreciate about a writer from the Jerusalem Center for Public Affairs, I really enjoy a lot of that he writes, is Daniel Elazar. And in his one writing called The Multifaceted Covenant, and it's the biblical approach to the problem of organizations, constitutions, and liberty as reflected in the thoughts of Johannes Althusius, he opens it up with the idea of modernity and non-governmental institutions. And when I thought about that and what's going on in these hearings on the judicial system, the opening paragraph just really struck me. He goes on to say this: one of their common aspects is the absence of a truly significant place for non-governmental institutions in their respective founding theories. In totalitarian states, the nominal existence of mediating institutions is simply a facade, since they are controlled by the state and more likely by a single totalitarian political party that controls the state. The matter is more subtle in the contemporary United States. American tradition and ideology require the maintenance of very independent mediating institutions with real status and function in the civil society. In reality, however, both governmental actions and the existence of radical individualism have been encroaching on them in a manner that has been ideologically justified as serving the ends of democracy. Now, I had to chew on that one, and I think you should as well. What I think that he ultimately comes down and begins to talk about is the idea that we fundamentally have totalitarianism in the United States already, but it is hidden within the context of the two-party system, and by virtue of the fact that we have a separation of so-called powers through the intent of Congress, the judiciary, and the administration. Now, in fact, we know, and as I brought out in last week's program and in other programs, our friend de Tocqueville talks about this in a manner that he says, and I'm going to paraphrase it right now. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can go back to a different program for that. But what he gets into is this idea is that people are all dumb and happy, living their lives with their masters in control of everything, so they don't have to take responsibility. And the only time they have to get up out of their duffs is when a certain percentage decide that they are going to go vote. And so they get their new masters in place by voting for them. And then they go back to sleep and they're fat, dumb, and happy again. And they become nothing more than useful animals, as he so called it. But I like to look at it to the idea that what he really did is he was calling people in America sheeple. And in many other European democracies, the same. But as we know, that what does that mean? What happens with that? Elazar kind of continues with this: while their position is justified by the ideology of pluralism, the radically individualistic new pluralism embraced by many increasingly undermines the integrational dimension that gives mediating much of their authority and power in civil society. He gives it to, that goes off to the ideologues, By the same token, contemporary ideologies emphasizing equality of a result have enabled government to encroach upon them in the name of a greater good, further cutting into their authority and power. Oh, I love this part. This is true of churches, universities, professional associations, labor unions, and every other form of public non-governmental association. The very fact that they are now referred to as mediating institutions distorts their original character to indicate that they are somehow to be subordinate to the individual on one hand and to the state on the other. Now, what I want to get into here a little bit, and this kind of comes from that last paragraph by Elazar, relative to the churches and Christian people. You know, last week, I didn't beat up on pastors. As a matter of fact, Kathy really challenged me around that. And then I started asking the questions, so what's going on with church leadership? What is it with the deacons and the elders and all of those, and even right down to the parishioners sitting in their theater seats or their pews? It comes down to you have no clue, my friends, on a doctrine, which I mentioned in last week's program as well. A doctrine that came out of the very ideas of Luther and the revolt that he began that became the Reformation. A doctrine that was established, excuse me, I was reaching for some interesting books, a doctrine that was established at that time in the Reformation, a doctrine that in 1550 was written down and actually put into practice. That doctrine is the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. I talked about that. And I gave you the whole list of background around that, except for, you know, one book that I inferred to that really set the precedent for it, and that was in 1550 AD, and it's called the Magdeburg Confession. Now, this gets wrapped around the whole idea that, Charles, that being Charles V, who was the emperor, he wanted to get rid of Protestantism. He didn't like that idea of that protesting of Catholicism, and he had this old pope jumping on his backside to get in there and wipe out these people by decree. Well, you know what? A bunch of lesser magistrates said, no, you're not going to do that. And it happened to be in this town called Magdeburg. And the whole aspect of how these church leaders, as well as the magistrates of that town, stood up against Charles V, stood up in such a way that they actually burned everything outside of the city walls, so they set up a burned-out barrier, barricaded themselves, and came under siege against Charles V, the emperor of the then Holy Roman Empire, and say, no, you know what? We're not going to allow you to force us on our free understanding of God's plan, of God's rule, of God's authority from the Bible. Not from some pope, not from some other religious leader, not, you know, from man determining what everybody else should bow down to. No, it was the whole idea that God is to be obeyed and served first. That was the responsibility of government, in essence, and what Paul talks about, but that's a whole nother story that we'll get into in another segment at another time in Samuel Adams Returns, The Anti-Federalist Got It Right. Join us here on Liberty Works Radio Network to continue the discussion of what is going on at Magdeburg and the doctrine of the lesser magistrates. Thanks for being here. and come back soon.